This is Gulf Coast Live Arts Edition from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Today, I'm thrilled to welcome back to the WGCU studios singer, songwriter, rocker, and guitarist Kate Scales to perform live. Scales first appeared on Gulf Coast Live last year, shortly after releasing her debut EP, Ready For Me. Scales' music career really began to take off just a few years ago after setting down roots here in Southwest Florida, where her powerful, distinctive vocal sound and smooth mix of rock and blues music quickly amassed a loyal fan base here. Sadly for us, she's since relocated to Los Angeles, where she continues to write and perform music prolifically. But she's back in Florida for a series of performances and recording sessions, and she's graciously taken the time to come perform with us here in the WGCU studios. Kate Scales, welcome back to Gulf Coast Live.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for that glowing intro.
Absolutely. And accompanying Kate once again is Southwest Florida-based singer, songwriter, and guitarist Caleb Neff. Neff also runs Juniper Recording in Cape Coral as a talented music engineer and producer, where he actually produced Kate Scales' debut EP. He's also been performing with Scales at local venues this past week and performs with his own band, Rosaline. Caleb Neff, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, John. It's good to be here.
And shameless self-promotion moment, Kate Scales and Caleb Neff have both been past guests on episodes of the WGCU podcast, Three Song Stories, produced and hosted by our very own Mike Canary and Richard Chinqui. And you can check out those conversations at threesongstories.org through the WGCU mobile app or pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts. And while the music you'll be hearing on this edition of Gulf Coast Live was recorded live in studio, today's show is not a live broadcast, so we won't be taking calls, but we still want to hear from listeners. Connect with us with your comments and questions on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. Now, before we get into the conversation, I want to just kick things right off with a song. Kate Scales, tell us what you and Caleb are going to be playing first and maybe say a little bit about it by way of introduction.
Sure, yeah. So the first tune we're going to do is Saw It Coming. This is a tune that is on the first EP, Ready For Me. This is the first music video we ever made together. We had Caleb and the guys were in it. It was really fun. We're going to do a little slowed down dirty, sassy version of it today.
All right.
Yeah. All right, cool. You ready? All right, here we go.
Company, but I got
Excellent. Our guest today is musician Kate Scales performing with Caleb Neff. And we just heard them perform Kate's song, Saw It Coming. And a very different sounding version of that song is on Kate's debut EP, Ready For Me. And of course, they're going to be performing throughout the rest of today's show as well. So stay tuned. Kate, I've got to say, that's unusual. It's almost like you transferred yourself into the body of another musician to do a cover of your own song.
Thank you. That's cool.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, usually it seems like it would take another musician to do your own song that differently. I love that.
I love that.
So let's get down to the questions.
Cool.
First of all, you know, the summer of 2017, we know, is when you really began to kind of like hunker down and make music, composition and performance a full-time focus and pursuit. In consideration of how far you've come since then, because it really wasn't that long ago, I'm curious about what prompted that decision, because you just went into it.
I did. It was, you know, it's bizarre. You know, sometimes people have those overnight revelations, and that's really kind of what happened to me. I ended up meeting one of my favorite bands of all time, the Eagles of Death Metal, after Fort Rock, okay?
All right.
So the veil was lifted. They're regular people just having a good time and chilling with some fans, and it was like, you know what? I can do this. I'm going to do this. And so I finally stopped being so scared about attempting to write songs. And then there it just happened. A bunch of tunes just kind of spilled out onto the floor. We picked the good ones and made the record, you know?
All right. All right. And of course, did you know Caleb at that time?
Nope. Googled recording studios near me. And he was like 0.4 miles away. And shot him an email. Hey, man, I want to do some covers just to get myself out there because no one really knows what my voice sounds like, which he would say no to that today.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, the timing of that.
But that's how we met, you know, and so then it just kind of, you know, once I got those videos uploaded and got such a great response, it was like, all right, dude, do the original thing. And we started working together. I would send him little ideas and demos. I could barely play guitar. So, you know, we would get together and like make full versions of these tunes, and they would just grow into, you know, good stuff.
And now, how long ago actually is it since you relocated to Los Angeles?
January. It's only been since January, earlier this year. Yeah. So we pulled into our driveway January 26th. And now it's September, so we're still in. It feels like I've been there forever.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, and that's like that's a huge leap in and of itself. It seems like it could be equal parts scary and exciting. Like, before you moved, did you like receive advice from perhaps well-meaning friends encouraging you maybe not to make the move? Like, hey, girl, you're a big fish in a small pond here. You move out to L.A., they'll eat you alive.
100%. Like, that is 90% of the feedback that I got from a lot of fellow friends, artists, and it was like all from a really great place, but also from a place of fear, and it was kind of like feeding my fear. So I get to LA, you know, we do the thing, we're there, it's February, and I'm like, I don't have a band, and I haven't played a show yet, and you know, and it was terrifying. Mm-hmm. So I stopped feeling sorry for myself, and I went to, I'm not going to plug it, but Guitar Center of all places.
Yeah.
I bought this guitar, and the dude who helped me find it was a sweetheart, and he ended up becoming my bass player, who introduced me to my drummer, who introduced me to my guitar player. You know, so it just all sort of fell into place. And yeah, no regrets. It's really great out there so far.
Well, I've really been enjoying, you know, your experiences vicariously through social media. And, you know, already as you mentioned just now, recruited new band members. You've already played shows at, you know, notable venues like the House of Blues, Viper Room, Whiskey a Go-Go. You just hit the ground running.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, it's funny because once I got over, so I my first show I booked was it for St. Paddy's Day at a cool little speakeasy in North Hollywood. And I played it with Brett, who, the guy, the bass player. Mm-hmm. He actually played the cajon for me and a couple of other like percussion pieces. And that was kind of like all it took. It just opened the floodgates. My confidence level shot through the roof. Got great feedback that night. Met all these new cool people. The venue owners were sweet. And it just kind of, it skyrocketed from there. So just started emailing like crazy and, you know, just, hey, I'm Kate Scales. I'm in town. Here's my stuff. If you like it, let me play. And That's it.
So that's – yeah. That's it. I was wondering, I was like, do you have like an approach for reaching out to venues and being like, take a chance?
That's literally what I've been yeah. doing. You know, now that I've got the ball rolling, you know, the bands that I'm meeting, you know, they're coming to shows and then wanting to play with me, which is an incredible feeling because a lot of these bands I like look up to, we're all like a local scene. You know, it's very similar here. It's like just like the Electric Mud and like Roseline. I look up to those guys. It's just us.
Yeah.
We're just buds. But I respect these people, you know, and that's how it is in LA. I respect these people and it's really unreal that they're, you know, they talk to me. They want to play with me.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, one thing I remember kind of quickly after you made the move was appearing in this music video for Foster the People's song Style. And, you know, even though you were essentially an extra among tons of extras, you're in that video quite a bit. Tell us that story. What was that day?
Wild.
How'd that happen?
Okay, funny story. So the frontman for Broken Waves, Tyler, hits me up. He's like, hey, did you see that Foster the People's looking for extras for a music video? And I was like, I didn't, but I'm going to go pop over there onto their Instagram and look. And that's what it was. It was an Instagram post. Hey, send us a selfie or two. Tell us what you're like and what your handles are. And, you know, hopefully we pick you. Good luck. So that's what I did. Took a selfie, sent a beautiful Jesse Kaysen photo to them. And really, I think that's what sealed the deal because, you know, selfies are never that great. But, yeah, and then I got an email the next day. Hey, you've been chosen. Be here at this time. So we went to this cool little warehouse and I think it was in K-Town. It was in K-Town in L.A., just right downtown. And, yeah, it was really cool. Mark Foster was directing the video, so he was super hands-on with all of us, absolute gentleman, sweetheart, very cool to watch work, very humble, respectful of everyone on the crew, all of this. It was really cool. It was awesome. But, yeah, it was funny because I was definitely one of the oldest people there.
Sure.
And they keep pulling me to the front for, like, girl with the tattoos and the hair. And I'm like, sure, this is wild what is happening right now. You know what I mean? It was really cool. So then, you know, seeing the video, yes, I'm like, that was a full second. That's a full second, and I'm right there. Wild. So, yeah. That's it.
And I can't believe that between like the Jesse Kaysen photography and Tyler Stryker just cluing you into it, there's still a Southwest Florida connection there. That's funny.
Isn't that awesome? I know. You can't get away.
Well, let's go ahead and hear our second song. And once again, I'll ask you to, you know, tell us the title and maybe a little bit about it.
Cool. Okay. This is called I Still Love You. Not in the original key on the record. I saw you leaning against the wall beside the jukebox. Couldn't believe it was you. Didn't know what to do. And I ran straight to the bar and grabbed a cold one. Shot of whiskey too. Didn't know what to do. But when I turned to look you in the eyes, it's no surprise that I still love you. Take me out on the dance floor like we used to. Fuck it down on the ground. Yeah, down on the ground. Spin me round, shake me up, shake me down, baby. Fuck it down on the ground. Yeah, down on the ground. When I turn and look you in the eyes, it's no surprise that I still love you. No. I know, and I still love you, and
still love you. Yes, it's true. It's true, it's true, it's true. And I still love you, but I hate the way you hang out dry like I'm a fool. Missing you too. Hope to see you soon. It felt so good to shake my ass in dirty boogie. And I've been missing you too. Hope to see you soon. Let you kiss me once for your goodbye. And it's no surprise that I still love you.
Awesome. That was Kate Scales performing with fellow musician Caleb Neff. That was her song, I Still Love You. And Scales' music career really is rooted here in Southwest Florida, but she's since moved to L.A. She's returned to play a series of shows here in the Sunshine State, including serving as the guest host tonight at the Howe Gallery in Fort Myers' weekly Jam Night event before heading out for other shows in St. Pete, West Palm Beach, and Miami. So stay tuned for more music from Scales and Neff throughout today's edition of Gulf Coast Live. And that last song there, and maybe I'm just hypersensitive to it because I've fallen asleep the last three nights in a row watching Ken Burns' documentary series on country music.
Yeah.
But some of your songs don't seem very country. And then that one, it's so country.
Right? You know, I got to embrace that country side of myself, which I never really, really liked it growing up. Dixie Chicks. I mean, who doesn't like the Dixie Chicks? I'm sorry. But as I've grown into this songwriter or whoever I am right now, I find that that's where my soul goes. Country blues. It's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're so, you know, they're rooted. They were on the same line
exactly.
for so long.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So going back to those early, you know, musical beginnings, did you realize you had a talent for singing before picking up a musical instrument?
Absolutely. I started singing in church choir when was really little. You know, I had the coolest teacher, Miss Karen. Loved her. You know, and then I started getting solos.
Hmm.
Oh, I get a solo? Are you sure? You know, and it just kind of went from there. Then I joined choir in middle school and then show choir in high school. And we would go and perform on cruise ships. And it was like cool stuff, you know. And so always a performer, forever a performer. It took me quite a while to realize that my voice was my strongest instrument. I played guitar for a bit. When I was like 16, 17 for a couple, you know, couple of years, wasn't like super great at it. I'm still not, but we work on it every day. And yeah, so just I think in college is when it really started to make sense. I got my dream role as Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors. And that's like no joke. Yeah. that was me in my prom. Amazing.
Can you do a little Audrey?
Yeah, I can. I got you. Okay, here you go. Seymour. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. I'm happy. Okay. So, and we kind of touched on this a bit before, too. It sounds like, Caleb, you were pretty instrumental in kind of getting Kate to pick the guitar back up again.
Well, yeah, it was the whole way that things went down is really wild, like Kate referenced. Like, the first day she came over to do some covers and you know, it's a thing that people do sometimes when they're trying to like start out getting themselves established. But it's just people normally aren't that good when they're at that stage of the game. So it's like she went home. She went home. And my wife came home from work and I was like, listen to this song. And she did Edge of Glory. And I was like, listen to this junk here. We put it on the stereo. I was like, this is kind of amazing, right? Like, am I crazy? It's kind of great, you know? So then she starts coming with these like original tunes. And it's like, here's the three chords I know, you know, in a song. But the melodies are like unbelievable. I'm like,
she's like, I can
so
hear the
far,
other chords in my head.
Yeah, there's so much other stuff going on yes. there that you're like, how are you at this place yeah. as a – like, it's frustrating, yeah. you know? to see someone come so far straight out of the gate, you're like, yeah. crap, dude, that's ridiculous.
Well, thank you. But, yeah, no, Caleb taught me how to play guitar again, really. I mean, because I was, like, getting so frustrated with all of these songs that I was coming up with in my head, and I have no idea what chords go with these melodies. And I'm, you know, and he's like, all right, you know, sit down. Here we go.
But it was really just connecting the dots, though, because yeah. obviously because of all of her, like, background and interests and stuff like that, it wasn't like she was new to music, right? She has incredible depth of stuff that she's drawing on that you can hear in those melodies. So it's just, like, the easiest gig in the world
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, you had touched on that during our last conversation, too, like, being a singer and, like, sort of – seeing things through melody, I guess seeing isn't the word, but hearing
yes.
things through melody, and it really
yep.
helps.
That's the
with
most
songwriting.
Important thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how it is. I'll wake up with some random melody in my head and like just make a voice memo real quick and figure it out
mm-hmm. right.
the next day.
So voice early on figured out that was your strong suit, yep. picked up the guitar a little later, but then kind of didn't get back into that until a few years ago. But there's a darker chapter before that. Where you played the cello
oh,
for a couple years.
Oh, my gosh, John.
So now I have to ask, why do you hate the cello? No kidding.
Okay, first of
That's
all.
My
The cello has been my mortal enemy since I was in fourth grade. No, you know, it's – I think it was multiple reasons. For the reasons that I get so frustrated with the guitar – you know, I can't see the notes in front of me like you can on a piano, for
right.
example. So with a cello, there's like nothing on it. Like there's no marker like there is with this with a fretboard. It's just you just have to feel it and know. And that for me as a kid was really a very hard concept to grab onto. Plus also having to sit in a chair.
Ah, yes.
Honestly, like I know that's very – but like you know me. Look at me. I can't sit still for 3 seconds. You know,
right.
it's like – I think it was a combination of a bunch of things. And also I'm not very good at reading music, and that was another frustration for me. So it was a bunch of things. Probably I was a lazy kid. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, when you were a kid and you were younger, like had you started writing your own music even back then?
Oh yeah, I have some really hysterical things that I came across. There was this tune I found with the word judgeful in it. Judgeful.
Oh.
That's
judgeful.
A word apparently that I thought existed when I was like 12. Judgeful. So, yeah, there's some terrible tunes floating around.
It's going to be on our next record.
Right. Okay. It's actually the next record's title is Judgeful.
Judgeful. Right. Well, let's go ahead on that note and hear another song.
Yeah, you know what? Let's do Snakeskin Mama. This is the first tune I ever wrote as an adult.
All right.
Quiet now, baby. Don't want nobody to see. Knocking the front door. Take my back door key. Oh, yeah. Save it for later. Up your sleeve. When I call you tomorrow, then run to me. I'm a snakeskin mama. I'll go to town. Can't help but hold me, cause you love me so much. Play up and down my skates. acting all Chanel. Good, that's how I like 'em. Oh, yeah, yeah. Come arrive on me, baby. Yeah, boy, loosen me up. Said you wanted this moment. Oh, come, baby, hear me hissing your name. Everything that you did to me, I'll never be the same. Snake in mama, go to the touch. Can't help but hold me, cause you love me so much. Lay up and down my stairs.
Beautiful. That was Snakeskin Mama, performed by Kate Scales, written by Kate Scales, formerly of Southwest Florida. And she's now in L.A., but is joining us for a few days here in Southwest Florida. Pretty soon, she's going to be heading out to St. Pete, West Palm Beach, and Miami for some shows. Tonight, she's going to be the guest host of Jam Night at Howe Gallery here in Fort Myers. And again, today's performances were performed live in studio, but I remind listeners, this is not a live broadcast, so we're not taking calls, but we'd still love to hear your comments and questions. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. So since being back in Southwest Florida these past several days, I know you've played a number of shows, including last Saturday's gig, along with Caleb and Rosaline at Pointy Bell. Then on Monday, you two performed at the Lonnie Kai on Fort Myers Beach. As far as playing with a full band, have you just kind of temporarily stolen Rosaline? Is that how this has been working?
That may be what's happening right now.
Borrowed.
Yes,
borrowed.
We're borrowing the band. Yeah, so I got back with the guys in the studio, and it was kind of like very magical, and so we were able to then play the live show at Pointy Bell. So, you know, it was all on the sketch, mm-hmm. you know, and it all went really well. It all kind of fell into place. So, yeah, I love playing with them both live and in the studio. Rick and Zane,
right.
Gotta love them.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, since being in LA, all the work that goes into, you know, sort of creating that name for yourself, promoting yourself, getting venues to take a chance on you, finding band members. Have you had time, found time to write as much as you want to, like new music?
Yeah, yes and no. I think now after when I get home from this tour, I'm really going to be able to put my focus 100% into that. The new band out in LA, they're so hungry for new music, and it's so encouraging. The other day, my drummer Kristen sent me like a full song, and it just was titled "Scales Idea."
Oh.
Like if something doesn't like melt your heart more than that, I don't know what does. Like it feels incredible to have people believe in me and this project. What was the question you asked me? I'm sorry. I like really
no,
got
that's
on a rant.
Great.
Was
no,
that
we
okay?
We're talking about writing new music.
That's it. So, yeah. And then so Caleb and I just laid down three new tunes in the studio. So one is You Know Me So Well. We know that one. I did release that single music video, but I wanted a shorter, cleaner, more punk rock version of it. So that's what we got.
Okay.
And then we have two other tunes coming out, one of which we'll perform today.
They're really great.
Oh, stop.
Okay. So this is going to hopefully be on an upcoming new album?
Yes. Details TBA.
Okay. Okay. So we don't have a title yet. We don't have a tentative release date.
No,
but it's
none
coming.
Of it. It's coming. Yep, okay. It's coming.
Good to know.
They're really great, and they're all like new chapters of things that sounds like Kate, but doesn't sound like anything she's necessarily done before. So
okay.
It's pretty cool.
Cool.
All right. Have you like, are you the disciplined type who like sets aside scheduled time to write music, or is it more like when a melody won't get out of your head and you just need to flush it out?
Yeah, so I try to schedule myself, and that ends up making the creative process come to a screeching halt.
Gotcha.
You know, it's like, all right, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up at 8 and I'm going to write until noon. And then, you know, I end up posting on, you know, the gram, and I'm doing the social media thing, because I just find that trying to like put myself into that box is it just doesn't. So, yeah, I'll trick myself sometimes to take a midday nap, because that is when I will think of melodies, when just as I'm falling asleep, some bizarre melody or some like really mean lyric will pop up into my head. And that's kind of how it's been happening. I've been trying to clean around the house, you know, sewing. And then just the other day, actually, I was making cushions for my picnic table outside. And these really great lyrics, like 8 lines of lyric, just all of a sudden they were just in my head, and I'm, you know, where's my phone?
Yeah.
You know, trying to get it in there as quickly as possible. It's, you know, yeah, that's how my brain works.
But I wanted to go, you know, back a little bit to even when you were in Philadelphia, because your educational background is in theater.
Yes.
And you had talked about this with Mike Canary on 3 Song Stories. You had kind of a life-changing accident at the age of 21 that really changed things for you.
It did, yeah. So, you know, in my prime in college, getting ready to graduate within like 2 years or even like 1.5 years, I think, at that point. And I had just met Tyler, my husband. And, you know, we did one of those things where it was like, you know, within the first 1.5 months we'd met each other. And, all right, honey, well, I'm going to come and see you. But like, you know, I got to get to work at 6:30 in the morning, you know. So, of course, what did I do? Stayed up all night talking to him until 3 a.m. because that's what I do, because I love, you know, I love him.
Yes.
I'm just getting to know him, you know. And, you know, so I wake up at 6 o'clock. I'm like, oh, my God, I got to drive to Kutztown. So this is like a good far drive, okay? This is like an hour drive to get to my barista job at 7 a.m. that I'm definitely going to be late for. And the next thing I know, there's an EMT, and I'm going, you were in a car accident. I was, what? You were in a car accident. You fell asleep. And I was like, that's not possible. You know, I didn't, you know. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, it's very movie style. Like, really, like, I was, like, on the gurney looking up, and, like, I remember the lights flashing over me. And then, again, like, then another time waking up, and it's like, oh, my best friends are in the room. My mom's there. I'm like, Tyler's there? This new boy, Tyler, is there, you know? And everyone's like, dude, you got real lucky, you know. And here I had been going about 45 miles an hour. I must have like fallen asleep, pushed the gas, went through a fence into a tree and on a farm. And it was on a not really well-traveled road. Some farmer found me. His name was Art. And I don't remember what he looks like or who he is at all, but he's my angel. So I did end up writing him a letter afterwards, just thanking him. But that poor man stayed with me until the air helicopter got there and stuff. Like, I mean, and all the people, like, I mean, it took them, I think, over an hour to get me out of the car, you know, just to get me out of there and then airlift me or whatever. So, yeah, it was, you know, hey, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to move to New York, or I guess I'm not going to L.A. right now. I guess I'm going to have to learn to walk again and, you know, all that jazz. And it was just like,
you were in a wheelchair.
I was in a wheelchair for like 5 months. Yeah, I had external fixator on my leg. It was like this whole thing. But of course, I had my super down days about it. But at the, you know, it was like, dude, you're alive. You're going to walk again. So shut it. You're going to be fine, you know. And it's like today, you know, I have, you know, the normal aches and pains of anyone that's, you know, I have arthritis like an 80-year-old woman. But that's like a small price to pay, you know, for my life.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. And I had an incredible physical therapist who didn't baby me at all. That helped too. Dawn. Love you, Dawn. Yeah.
Well, despite the trauma of that experience, I mean, has that provided, do you think, maybe some vital source material for songs?
It's so funny because I have not touched it. I haven't touched it with, it's weird. I don't know why.
Because I ask because I've heard from so many musicians who talk about how they've been able to use past traumas and work through them with music and almost as a form of therapy. And I think whether you choose to do that with music or not with this, it's, that is interesting that you've kind of
So
compartmentalize that a little bit.
The tunes that I've been writing as of now are very therapeutic.
Like, yeah?
All of the tunes, I would say, are very much helping me get through some things that I, you know, was just recently going through emotionally. You know, human relationships are hard.
Yeah.
So writing songs with words that you wish you could say to their face and you can't is one of the most satisfying things I've ever discovered, because now I get to sing these songs over and over and over for the rest of my life. And even if the people I wrote them about don't know, it doesn't matter, because I'm getting it out. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm releasing it like a little bit more every time I sing the tune until it's just a tune.
Right.
You know? And does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. No, I like that. I like that. Well, on that note, let's hear another song.
Yeah. You know what? Let's do a new one. Let's do Florida Boy Blues. I think that's perfect.
All right.
Well, I haven't known you a long time, but something tells me you are mine. And when I leave here, my heart will stay with you. Well, this blue-eyed, strong, fine-looking man rode into my favorite bar. Time stopped, and you sunk your claws right in. Told you I was nothing but trouble, baby. Trouble is just what you got. Well, I didn't think I'd fall so damn hard, yeah. After a while, that harmless fun became dangerous love. I should not have allowed it, but I felt so alive in your arms. And I haven't known you. Something tells me you are mine. And when I leave here, my heart will stay with you. Oh, no, no, I was wrong, so wrong. That boy don't walk down on me after 2 months. Made me feel like a fool. Yeah, he left me all alone, all alone, all alone. If you were able to tell me you love me, baby, then you're able to tell me you don't. I think I deserve better than chasing your ghost. And I have to admit that I'm embarrassed at how much I cry over some coward who couldn't face me to tell me goodbye. I wish I could erase you completely from all of my memories. Forget your sad smile and that smoke in your voice. Oh yeah. No, I can't shake these Florida boy blues. Stay with you.
All right. That was Florida Boy Blues, a new song from Kate Scales, who joins us in studio today. She's making a trip around Florida these past few days and in the next few days. But she is now based in Los Angeles. She's joining us along with fellow musician Caleb Neff of the band Rosaline and, of course, of Juniper Recording in Cape Coral. I love that song. That's great.
Thank you. Did you like that?
Very much.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Therapy.
Yeah. I'm going to pretend that was about me.
It was.
And, of course, there is going to be a new album in the works. Her debut EP, Ready For Me, is available in CD form through her website, katescales.com, and also just about anywhere else that you download or stream your music online. And I want to talk about a bit about your influences, too, because I know pretty much your top two as far as powerful female vocalists are Gwen Stefani and Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think those two?
Well, I think Gwen, for when I was younger, Tragic Kingdom, one of the first records that I ever, I think I bought that CD. I'm pretty sure I bought that CD with my own allowance money back in the day. And just seeing her like on MTV, like in those videos, and it's like, wait, it's a girl rocking out? Like, it was so empowering for me. And she's just so fun and cute. And she writes all her own music. Are you serious? Yeah. And she wrote a whole record about a boy that broke up with her. And he's in the band? Wow. And she's going to make him play those songs. Like, that is – it's not like that anymore. They're very close. But, like, it's just like, wow. Like, she is a bad bee. And I love her. And I respect her. You know, I thought that was so cool. And then with Gaga – oh, my God. My angel. I love her. Again, singer-songwriter and just all-around boss lady. I mean, she was working for Sony writing music before someone picked her up and was like, hey, like, you're freaking great, you know, and just hustling and working her butt off to get to the top, you know, and she's just so inspiring. You know, it's just one of those things where you just – it's like, wow, like, I hope I can be as cool as her one day, you know.
Yeah.
She is just – and her voice, I mean, my God. You know, I would be lying if I didn't say that I try to sing and sound, not sound like her, but, you know, like I learned how to breathe trying to sing her tunes, like Edge of Glory.
Yeah.
Great example. One of the hardest songs I've ever tried to sing because she does this edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge. And it's all one breath. And it's like there's no room to breathe in there.
Yeah.
You're going to ruin it. You're going to ruin it, you know. And so like literally singing in the car with her tunes, like, taught me how to sing with my soul.
Yeah. So tonight you're going to be hosting a jam night at Howe Gallery. So I assume that means you're also going to be performing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So just two songs.
Just two songs.
And we are going to – it's just going to be me and my buddy Jimmy James Oliver on drums.
Oh, all right.
Cool little duo. Yeah. Little duo, Jam-a-lama-ding-dong. Yeah. So we're going to do two of the tunes from the EP.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. And then after tonight, you head to St. Pete, West Palm Beach, Miami. Tell us what's coming.
Yes. So Friday is Ruby's Elixir in St. Petersburg, a venue that I have been dying to play. It was one of those places that I wanted to play with the full band. And it stinks because when I was in the process of moving to L.A., we were in L.A. looking at homes. And Ruby's was like, hey, we just had a band cancel. Can you play? I'm like, hi, no, because darn it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just really cool that I get to come back and play this. And David Rojas is going to be joining me on that.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. He is an excellent, excellent guitar player. So he was discussing coming up just to see it. And I was like, sir, if you drive all the way to St. Petersburg, then you'll be plugging in and playing with me. What's your rate, buddy? You're playing it. I'm good alone, but I'm great when I have somebody else with me. And
sure.
I know that. You know, I'm not afraid to admit that. So.
All right. Well, let's hear our second to last song today.
Okay. Is it Leave Home?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
It is.
We'll have a big finish then. All right, cool. All right. When you leave home, you leave the love that grew you, that knew you and made you who you are. But sometimes a home just turns into space, to a place that turned you to somewhere new, and you left it all behind.
My friends are nothing conquers homes where they stay. Sometimes they send me pics of the kids they made. Thing I heard there when I made the choice to go. This road is long and lonely. They're always on my mind. They're always. Well, sometimes it feels like distance is a blessing. It was light on the good ones. Remember who they are. And no amount of miles will change the way I feel. Our hearts will beat as one. Yeah, our love's still real. We reunite. It's like no time has passed. I mean it when I tell you. They're always on my mind. They're flying by and you're so far away. I'm not sure how much more I can say. Wish I could be in two places at the same time. And I want you to know you're my inspiration. And I'm gonna show you the fire burning deep within my soul. They're always on my mind. They're always on my mind. They're always on my mind. They're always.
That was Leave Home, performed by Kate Scales and Caleb Neff in studio. Beautiful song, kind of a haunting quality to it.
Thank
I love
so
that.
Much. Thank you.
Yeah. And I wanted to put the spotlight on Caleb
Please.
Here for a little bit.
Please.
Juniper Recording.
Rub, bro.
Yeah. Juniper Recording is, I mean, this is like your baby. This is, you've started it.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm curious about what motivated you, on top of being a singer, songwriter, guitar player yourself, to even just get into music production and engineering in the first place.
Dude, well, this is a perfect example. What we were just talking about, that show at Point & Bell where it's like we did a duo thing, mm-hmm. and then I played with my band, and then we played with Kate, and it's like the most – satisfying musical thing to not do the same thing every day.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. So this has happened a couple of times where, like, I'm not trying to shoehorn my way into these bands or whatever, but, like, it ends up happening. A lot of times it's solo artists. If I'm producing something like where Kate was when we started out, she has these songs. Working on this record, we hired some players. Mm-hmm. So I end up playing on a lot of these records. And then a lot of times I end up playing shows with these people because it's like, well, you played all this junk on the record, come play a few shows. So it's really fun because, yeah, I don't want to play the same songs every day until I die. So it's like, you know, putting on a different hat every day, playing different styles of music. And I'm not like the world's greatest guitar player. So it's a fun challenge for me to go like, I got to play at 110% of my skill level to keep up.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you, it seems like you really, really enjoy and get totally absorbed in the
yes.
projects that you do. Because
yes.
you're more of a quality over quantity guy.
I make about 5 records a year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah. It's exactly it, on purpose. So, like, it's not a good business model, but it's extremely satisfying.
Yeah.
Like, I do other things to make money.
Right, you know? Right.
Because it's like, yeah, when someone calls in and go, this is what we were talking about with Kate. Like, I don't do a lot of when someone calls in and go, I want to do something this afternoon. It's like, it's not very much of what I do. It's usually projects that are 6 months in the making between helping people write, edit, finish up their material, pick their best material, pre-production, finding players, tracking a record, post-production, overdubs, editing, mixing, and then – you know, sometimes helping them through a little bit with a little bit of knowledge I have about like release strategy and stuff like that. So it's really artistically satisfying to be real involved with projects like that.
Why? And I want to do something with Rosaline on this show in the future.
We'd
soon.
Love to.
Tell me about the band. Well, first of all, is there a special meaning behind the name?
Yeah. So before I've been doing this music, living the dream thing now full time for about 4 years. I was a pastor at a church for 12 years before that, and music represented the irresponsible thing that I should not be doing, right? Because I have something more significant and more important that I should be focusing on, right? And I say all that in quotes, but we're on the radio, so it doesn't...
Air quotes.
Air quotes don't translate.
They're there.
I just became aware, like, yes. You're on the radio, yes. Idiot. So, you know, Rosaline, and I know I'm intentionally mispronouncing it because it sounds more Southern to say Rosaline, even though everybody always gets it wrong, but you got it right. It's you know, Rosalind is the girl at the beginning of Romeo and Juliet that he's like, oh my God, she's the greatest thing. And then like 5 pages later, she's gone. She's not part of the story anymore. You're just like, wait, what happened to her? You know, so it was representative for me about this thing that you're passionate about, but it's supposed to represent like this childlike thing that you're supposed to grow out of. Except for me, I haven't grown out of it. Like, I'm full on living this second adolescence, like going to play rock shows, and I'm 33 and I have 2 children at home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
You know, very irresponsible, tons of fun.
Yeah. and the sound is, I mean, clearly rooted in kind of like this alt rock country. How is that reflective of your own influences?
Yeah. Well, My wheelhouse as a writer is like Bob Dylan, John Prine, a lot of the like late 60s, early 70s, Creedence, the country records that the Stones made, all of that kind of stuff. So mm-hmm. I would say like just as a band, if we could remake Let It Bleed or Exile on Main Street just over and over and over and over, I'd be real happy.
Okay. Tell me about your bandmates.
Okay, so we just had a little bit of a lineup change, and we have a couple people that play with us sometimes, which is really fun to be part of like a broader kind of type of thing. So depending on the show, sometimes we have a pedal steel player, Gary Causton, who's unbelievable. Who
Wait,
plays
there's
the...
another Causton?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm like, okay, sorry.
Gary, the dad.
His dad.
Oh, it's the dad.
Yes.
His dad.
Oh, okay, so the father of the Cape Coral City Councilwoman.
Yes.
And from Let's Go Exploring.
It's a famous
Mike,
family.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so Gary is the most incredible pedal steel player. And so we've actually found him through Kyle Ann. But anyways, he plays on our first record and then started playing shows with us. And then we have an incredible keys player named Joe Reppert, who's going to actually side promotion, going to be on Kate's new record. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
He was a session player in Muscle Shoals, like in the heyday.
And oh,
he's,
wow.
He's played on records that we've all heard. Yeah. And then bass player, drummer, Zane Elliott and Rick Setzer, who play on a lot of the records that I produce, including Kate's.
Yep.
And then Brett Williams just joined us on lead guitar. So most of the time we're doing a lot more like just straight rock and stuff, less country, more rock and roll, kind of like the Black Crowes is probably a similar vibe to what we're doing now with Brett.
All right. Well, I do look forward to having you all in studio in the future.
Yeah.
That is just about all the time we have for today's show. So I'm going to ask for one last song. But first, I have a little business to take care of and saying thank you so much to my guests. We've been speaking with a rocker, vocal powerhouse, singer, songwriter, and guitarist, Kate Scales, formerly of Southwest Florida and currently taking Los Angeles by storm. Her debut EP, Ready For Me, was released last spring and is available on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, Apple Music, Google Play, YouTube, anywhere you get your music online. Also, you can buy a physical CD. That's available through her website, katescales.com. And she'll be performing and serving as the guest host of Jam Night tonight at Howl Gallery. It's here in Fort Myers before heading to other parts of Florida for a series of shows and then heading back to LA. Kate Scales, thanks for making a stop in our studios.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me. I always love coming back.
Also, thanks to singer, songwriter, guitarist, music engineer, and producer Caleb Neff. He runs Juniper Recording in Cape Coral and also performs with his own band, Rosaline. Caleb, always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having us, John.
Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and yours truly. Our director is Richard Chinqui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm John Davis. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida. All right, what's our last song going to be?
It's your favorite.
Daughter of the Devil.
Yes. Yeah. Ooh, drop it low, low. drop it low, low. Sorry.
I'm actually going to tune back up. That's just the intro.
Bow. There we go.
The Devil. I woke up, yeah, I was sweating from my head to my toes. I had a dream so real, my heart was pounding and oh, the fear was rushing over me, adrenaline too. Devil was there, yes, he was in my room, oh no. The ground started shaking, shook me out of my bed. Was this really real or was this all in my head? Shut my eyes so tight, I felt his breath on my face. You're coming with me, I'll take you from this place. Oh. Do you know who I am? The devil's pride and joy. Sold in my soul in exchange for his voice. Do you know who I am? The daughter of the devil. Gonna rock all the way to hell. Looked into my soul and found my deepest desire. Poured the rest of me into his leg of fire. When I rose from the flames, began to sing my song. Devil clapped his hands and then he sang along. He said,
sing for me, baby.
Hey, na, na, na.
Sing for me, honey.
I'll never forget the day we made our deal. Don't you try me now, boy, I got no soda still.